I think it's also good to look at these verses as being a structure of the family, because if one part of it is missing, then the whole family could fall apart. For example, where it says here that being a servant, you should obey your master. If, let's say, the father goes home, this is brought in our devotions last night, and he complains about his boss to his wife and his kids, and then his kids hear him complaining, and they say, oh, he doesn't want to follow any laws. He doesn't want to follow what his boss is saying. He doesn't want to follow what is the orders that was given to him. Why should I follow the orders that were given to me? And then the wife says, here's the person that's supposed to be the head of the house, and he doesn't want to follow orders. Why should I follow his orders? And by doing this, it can cause the whole family to fall apart.
I think it's important to, as children, to remember your parents are not perfect. They do make mistakes. Do they allow you to make mistakes? Parents recognize that my children make mistakes. Okay? I, as a child, need to also realize they've never been parents before they had you. They didn't have years and years and years and years of practice. But as Tony has said, they are always your parents. To obey is absolutely what you have been called to. Why does it use the word submit with the wife and obey with the child? There's a good reason why. If you go to Genesis 24, I think it is, where, in fact, the servant goes out and you hear Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man? What did she do? She went. She put her place willingly into that, or put herself into the place of submission. You have not done that as a child. You were born into that a family. You were born under the authority of those that, and it's a wonderful thing. The family is a blessed thing. The brother has brought out before us what happens when there's failure either on the father's part or the mother's or both, and it breaks down. Do you know the first place you see it in? In the kids. You see it in the children. And so the world says, well, I'm not going to stay together for my children's sake. I always admire those who have perhaps had difficulty, but have put themselves second and have said, Lord, help us to work these difficulties out, but to not go the way of divorce that is so prevalent in the world that we live in. Remember, you know, we used to marvel when it hit 50%. Now people just live with one another. There is no standard in the world today. But there is still a standard for you and I. We still have the Word of God. And this brother has mentioned, no matter what laws this country that we live in, and we appreciate America for what it stood for and has stood for. But when it passes laws that are contrary to the Word of God, we ought to obey God rather than man. So always remember that. And then, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. That is just, to me, the recognition that, in fact, there might be some things in that home with a father or a mother that need adjusting. Do you know what that's telling me? If you're saved, they need your prayer. They need your prayer. I want to tell you again, young people, the person that you can and should have the best relationship in the world with is your mother and father. They are the ones that you ought to be able, even in the case that we're in, my kids live hundreds of miles from us in Bluefield. They call 2 and 3 times a day. The relationship is centered in Christ. And so then parent-children relationships are enhanced by that. Young ladies, get to know your mom. Get close to her. Talk with her. Talk with the things that are perhaps bothering you that you don't have the answer. Same thing, young man. Get to know your fathers. If they're not spending the time that you think they should be with you, pray for them, and try to draw them out. These relationships are of God, you see.
Let me undermine what he's been saying now. I want to underline it for you. Why? I mean, obeying your parents, that's a hard thing to do. Let's be honest about it, right? We wanted to do that. Why? Doing everything according to the Lord? Why? I want to do my own thing. Remember, we are the new man. We are living in the sphere, the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's why we do that. It is not like, okay, we are a Grove City and they told us, obey your parents, now we have to do that. No, you are the new man. You have put on a new clothes. There is completely changed. You went home and you burn all of these garbage or CDs and all of these stuff that's no good. I want to challenge you today. Lord willing, if we're still here on earth, we're going home tomorrow. I want to ask you to do two things. Well, three. I want you to go to your Facebook profile because I want to underline what Tony have said. I want you to review what you have in there before the Lord. I want you to look at verse 17 and ask yourself, could I put the name of the Lord in there? Do I put that signature that the Lord agree of the stuff that I have in there? Please delete the junk that's in there. And be very, very careful of what you put on that Facebook, because when it's in writing, my friend, it's everywhere. And you cannot take it back. Think 5 times, 50 times before you put anything in there. Review when you go home that stuff. Please, Saturday night. And remove all of the junk that's in the past. And anytime you want to think to put something, said, can I put there in the name of the Lord? Jesus, can I do that? That's number one. The second thing I want you to do when you go home, go to your parents. If there is an issue, because it doesn't do us any good to speak here about verse 20. Obey your parents, said, okay, these are older brethren, they're going to tell us that anyway. No, the scripture said to do it. Scripture said to do it. It's not Brother Chuck or Tony or John or I or Dave that said that. The scripture said that more than once. Obey your parents. Go home to your parents. Please do that. If there is any conflict, if there is any issue, be a man, be a woman. Said, I'm sorry. I disappointed you. I don't know what I was thinking. It's going to take some guts from you to do that. But do it. Make it right with your parents. If there is a practical result of us being here for this week, those are the two things that are really, really going to show that the Spirit of God was working in your heart and convicting you. And you are a changed person. You are a new man. It wasn't just we had fun at Grove City. The third thing I want you to do, I want you to read the Word of God. I want you to have it dwell richly in your heart. Please take time. Spend time reading the Word of God. Those are the three things, very simply, I want you to do when you go home. Go to your Facebook page. Clean it up. Go to your parents. Make it right with them. And then have the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Pass. I know the time is passing, so I'll just bring this verse very quickly. Ephesians 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And verse 2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. When we are still under the authority of our parents, when we still live under the roof, it's obey. And afterwards, it's honor. And there's a difference there, but the one thing I wanted to bring out is this is the first commandment with promise. And the promise that's given is that it's long life. Obedience is primal when you're trying to live a life honoring Christ. The first sin came due to disobedience, and it's impossible to live without obedience. So I really just trying to make that point. As young people, we're working very hard in our entire life, you know, starting off with school, and we're hoping to go further and further. I cannot stress enough that without living in obedience, we will be exposing ourselves to a lack of certain blessings.
Time is gone. We're going to stop there, but I want to stress there's two things in that verse that you've read to us. One is long life. There's something else there. That it may be well with thee. How much is encompassed in that little phrase? That the Lord ties your relationship with your parents to two things. He ties it to your life in general, that it may be well with thee. Do you want that? Do we want that for you? Do we who are parents want that for our children? Yes, we do. And then there's the other side that you've given. There's long life on the earth. Now, we realize that we did not finish this chapter. We had a few more things. You can talk about that in your group tonight. And there's the fourth chapter, the salutations. We just didn't get to them. This is the whole idea in the kind of a Bible study like this, that we try to put a framework together, and you're going to go home now, and you're going to finish it. You're going to spend the time. Who were the writers again that we talked about? Hamilton Smith. Go to your book room. Go to your parents' library. You see Hamilton Smith there, pull him out and read him. C.H. McIntosh. Young people, I'll tell you what Mr. McIntosh is. He's Mr. Darby made simple. Okay? He's Mr. Darby in our language today. He's Mr. Darby in a language that kids can read it and get hold of it. And McIntosh's writings are not above anybody in this room. Get hold of these things. F.B. Hole. Your parents probably have, or your dad, has these books on the bookshelf. Ask him. You have one more?
Buy your own books. Don't think of that.
Buy your own books.
I just want to leave with one verse that was brought up to me. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And it's a real challenge. It's a great challenge for us. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." It's a great challenge, and that we can take these challenges Brother Emil has given us and would actually do them.
I would say, too, before we close in prayer and have a hymn, the exhortation to read Mr. McIntosh, to read Mr. Hole, is not just for the brothers. It's not just an exhortation for the brothers. It's an exhortation for brothers and sisters both.
Can I say one thing? I think it's not me, but all of us, we really, really love you guys.
Amen.
I'm just going to say it this way. We really do. We appreciate you so much. Your behavior, your the way you conducted yourselves, the way you sat in the Bible readings, the way I saw you in devotions. We really do appreciate that. And Christ does also when we see you. I want to see growth. I want to see maturity. I want to see if the Lord leads us here next year even better, well-versed in the Word of God, going on for Christ. But I just want to tell you, we really appreciate you. Anytime you have a question about anything or you need help with anything, brother in the local assembly could help you. If you need to reach out to us, we'll be more than happy to get on the phone with you, talk with you via email, whatever you could do. We would be more than happy to help you out, because the whole idea is this: we want to see you going on for Christ.